Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I have prioritized listening to all members of our Republican conference, and my focus is on unity because that's what the American people and that's what our voters deserve. I also want to thank this leadership team. I look forward to working with them in partnership, shoulder to shoulder, to make sure that we are fighting on behalf of hardworking Americans. I also want to thank President Trump for his support. He is a critical part of our Republican team. And of course, most importantly, I want to thank the voters of New York's 21st Congressional District, whom I'm honored to represent each and every day and fight for them.
I think that's pretty cool and shows how big of a tent the Republican Party is. You have a young lady leader there, Lise Stefanik, who is the new conference chair, taking over for Liz Cheney, and she's from New York. How about that? A Republican from New York. And she was definitely forefront last year in a lot of those hearings. And, you know, it seems like she understands that the duty of the conference chairs is to support and promote the messaging of the majority of the caucus. And that's not to talk about the past, but to talk about the future. And there's definitely going to be a choice in 2022. And I think Elise Stefanik will be a good messenger for that. Another great messenger for the cause is State Representative Nick Schroer, who literally is joining us literally live from the House chamber, the Missouri House of Representatives. They've got less than an hour left in session. I can hear the chatter in the background there, Nick. Nick, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mark Reardon Show. Great to have you on.
Hey, thank you for having me on, and sorry for the background noise. We're literally in the middle of passing the Second Amendment Preservation Act. Hopefully you can hear me.
Oh, my goodness. Fine. Yeah, very historic. Nick, tell us what the Second Amendment Protection Act, Preservation Act is all about. And what's happening right now as the Missouri legislature wraps up the last 50 minutes of its regular session?
Yeah, this last vote will actually ensure that Missouri is taking a stand, becoming a sanctuary state for the Second Amendment, ensuring that your Second Amendment rights are not infringed upon by the Biden administration or any other administration. It's a bill that I've been a co-sponsor of for the past several years up here. We're one vote away and probably about a minute away from doing that. And ensuring that these unconstitutional laws, which will be passed by the federal government or the ATF, they're not going to be enforced here in the state of Missouri using our men and women in blue.
Very good. Nick, do you need to go vote on this? Do we need to let you go vote for a second here?
I'm doing it right now.
Okay, very good. Excellent. Wow,
we're in the middle of history.
This is prime time radio here, folks. Yeah, Nick, so what's left, Nick? Is there anything left in the last 50 minutes before I talk to you about maybe some of the other big things that happened today? Is there anything left, or is this kind of the piece de resistance to wrap up the session?
Well, ultimately, I think the last big thing that awaits is the COVID liability bill. We passed some forms of it, but right now the Senate has shut down for the day. In historic fashion, they're shutting down, and we're passing big bills like my name, image, likeness bill, which is going against archaic and anti-liberty rules from the NCAA. We passed my huge Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights bill.
Yes.
We just passed the Second Amendment Preservation Act. And I think the last hour is going to be spent on a COVID liability bill, a frivolous lawsuit reform bill related to, unfortunately, COVID.
Nick, we had on your mutual friend and mine from the other side of the aisle, former Senator, Democratic Senator Jeff Smith, who was giving you and so many of the conservative leaders up there, like Bob Onder and Bill Eigel and others, a lot of credit for shepherding that huge criminal justice reform bill across the finish line. Yeah. Jeff or Nick, why did that become so bipartisan in fashion? What's in it that's good for conservatives and some more liberal members alike?
Well, the one portion which Republicans and Democrats came together, that's the anti-chokehold. It's something that's really not done in the state of Missouri anymore in a lot of our big departments, metropolis areas. But there are some areas where it is still taught, even though, you know, the science behind it and many of the law enforcement officers are saying look, we need to get a grasp on that and only have chokeholds for certain instances when someone's life, your life or someone else's, is in danger. So that was a portion of it. And another big, massive portion, which I give Representative Ron Hicks, myself, I worked on this last year with Representative Hicks and even Doug Ritchie from Kansas City, is removing the residency requirement for the police officers in the Kansas City area. It was the last area in the state of Missouri. We just passed that restriction. We got rid of that restriction, rather, last year in a special session in the middle of COVID for the St. Louis area. And when I tried to expand it to go statewide, it caused a lot of issues, ruffled a lot of feathers. We worked on that this past year, and we finally got that one passed. Now, it's a little bit different than my Senate Bill 26, which myself and Senator Igel have been working on. That one had a provision which we ultimately had to strip out today related to protesters on the highways. Now, we still got a lot of good stuff in there, provisions that Republicans and Democrats alike can both stand by. Bobby Bostick, I know a lot of people have heard me talk about that, and juvenile sentencing reform, we finally got that done. Law enforcement officers' Bill of Rights, solidifying a minimal set of due process rights for law enforcement officers in certain types of investigations. A lot of other good pieces in that historic bill. And I think we're voting on something else here. Pop out here and see.
Okay, very good.
That's why they dismissed.
So there's a lot going on here. It's incredibly exciting.
Yeah, there's a lot of people running around.
I'm back on the House floor 7 years ago. Nick, was there good stuff in that bill for the brave men and women in blue? Were they supportive of this bill as well?
Yes, men and women in blue were supportive of 53. That was a bill that Tony Lukemeyer and Brian Williams, one from Kansas City, one from St. Louis area, they came together. There were some good provisions in there, but I'm a little bit biased. I believe that we did a lot more for the men and women in blue. We stood up for our law enforcement officers in passing Senate Bill 26, again, which myself and Senator Igel have worked on. Another provision in there, which got a little bit of heat today from the gentleman out of St. Louis County, Representative Dogan, who is speaking against it. There's a provision in our bill which would allow taxpayers to seek injunctive relief to stop, ultimately, the defunding of a police if you're in an area like St. Louis City, where we're seeing it's occurring. Massive piece that law enforcement officers came out of the woodwork to support.
Fantastic. Nick, I think some people, especially on the conservative side of the aisle, though, are wondering, what in the world is a supermajority Republican legislature doing raising taxes? And I know you voted against this, and so did so many of my other people that I admire up there, but how did our state Senate let this through a filibuster? How did this get to the governor's desk?
I quite frankly am still scratching my head on that one. It's one that I was adamantly against. I spoke against. I had amendments on there that ultimately did not get on. There are certain members of our quote unquote conservative alliance up here that teamed with the other side. And, you know, ultimately, even though we're under a supermajority of Republican rule, we just ushered in the biggest tax increase, just a couple years after we did the biggest tax cut, which we're going to be seeing at the fuel pumps. And it's something that I was totally against. I think it's the wrong move. The people in the state of Missouri had voted that down time and time again. But here we are, not listening to the people, like we have not listened to them on voter ID. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I'm hoping that the governor vetoes, but I don't think that he will.
Speaking of State Representative Nick Schroer from the great county of St. Charles, literally in the last 45 minutes of the Missouri General Assembly's regular session. Nick, I want to finish on a high note here before I ask you about maybe a future special session. And that is the fact that you did get a historic education reform bill across the finish line, something that my predecessors fought for, I fought for, you have fought for. It finally got across the finish line. I believe it was supported in a bipartisan fashion, and it will provide more opportunities for kids. Nick, how and why did it get across the finish line this year?
Well, I think that on the House side, we had just barely enough members that we're looking out for the best interests of the children and not the lobbies, so to speak, the education lobbies that are speaking for their members and rather than the best interests of the kids. We got that across the finish line in the House early on, went over to the Senate, and, you know, speaking with a lot of the talking heads up here and the establishment, they've indicated that they just didn't believe, the other side didn't believe that it could ever pass. So they let it quickly go to a vote. They were surprised when it ended up passing. And then since then, in the days and weeks after its passage, we've been working with different deals to make sure that historic bills such as the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights and other bills are getting done. My colleague, my friend, Phil Crisafinelli, who was the sponsor of that bill,
yes,
he ended up having to take the allotment, the money pool, rather, and cut it in half. So ultimately, we're only going to see about 4,000 students as of right now benefit from the education savings accounts. I'm hoping once we see that this is going to be good for students across the state, we can increase that over time.
Finally, Nick, the kids in the urban areas, and even maybe, well, starting in the urban areas, I think generally, the kids in the urban areas in these failing schools, they're going to have a choice, aren't they, to try to get a true good education moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, a situation that is near and dear to my heart. I grew up in Ferguson. I was in a failing school district. We were, I was in the different programs to get me out of the school. I was in the advanced programs, but still, you know, we're getting in fights every day. There were kids bringing weapons to schools. It was not a good environment. And fortunately, my parents, they worked a little bit extra, worked a couple extra hours, and sent me to a parochial school in Florissant, Missouri. Very happy that they were able to do that. But, you know, finally, we're going to have kids of all races, of all sexes, any type of poverty level, they're going to be able to come in and have an option, have a choice. If their parents want to put them in a better situation, give them the choice to succeed, we're finally giving that option to at least 4,000 kids, and I'm hoping we can come back next year and at least double that.
Very good. And, Nick, probably going to have some special sessions, right, this year. You just got the census data, which means redistricting. The redistricting, yes, battles haven't even begun yet. And perhaps, speaking of elections, hopefully maybe a session on voter ID to protect the integrity of our electoral system, something that I know makes CNN light their hair on fire.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, the voters passed just a couple years ago by massive margins. Mm. Guess who shut it down? The Supreme Court in the state of Missouri on a technicality. We've tried to fix that, and despite the kicks and screams from the Democrats on Medicaid expansion when they want to cite the will of the people and the voting results, they don't do that when it comes to voter ID. So that's something that they stood in the way of filibustering this year. If we are coming back for special session, I would say it's three-prong. One, redistricting. It's something that I'm even keeping an eye on to figure out if I'm going to stay in the House, or if there's a Senate district that's going to open up with Bob Onder terming out, am I going to jump into that? Next piece is the federal reimbursement allowance. That's something that the Democrats in control right now, claiming that they're going to repeal the Hyde Amendment, that would mean that taxpayer dollars would be going to services like abortion, like killing unborn babies, something that the Senate and the House have tried to put a stop to, and that's what shut down the Senate today. And lastly, like you said, voter ID is something that's very important to us, very important to the governor. And I'm hoping that the people of Missouri will push for an expansion of the special session to include the passage of voter ID.
Fantastic. At Nick B. Shore on Twitter. Nick, I want you to be able to focus for the last half hour or so here of the remaining amount of time in the legislative session. Thanks for all the information you gave us throughout the session. Godspeed to you, Nick. Travel home safe soon, and we'll talk to you later.
We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you very much. There goes Nick B. Shore from the very loud Missouri House Chamber. Lots of activity.
Yeah, it sounded kind of cool.
Yeah,
like we were right in the middle of it.
We were right in the middle, live from Jefferson City. So, there he goes, Nick B. Shore. They've got 40 minutes left, and then the gavel will drop and the House will be out of session, but I think they'll be back for some special session. Sounds like they had a lot more. The census data just came in, so the House and the Senate are going to have to go back in at some point to draw the congressional maps for the state. And then there's a commission that is appointed by the governor that will draw all the state legislative districts, the 197 states. So they got a lot more work to do this year. And so they'll get a little break, and everybody will go home in cooler jets and then probably come back later on this summer. So we'll keep you posted on that. Tim Jones in for Mark Reardon. It's the Mark Reardon Show. Happy to be with you here on a fantastic, beautiful Friday here in the Heartland. We've got Virginia Cruda of the Daily Caller coming up next here at 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I also wanted to just make a comment about what's happening in the Middle East. I have friends over there who've been having to hide out in bomb shelters overnight because of Hamas, which is a terrorist group raining down rockets on civilians. And make no mistake, Hamas is a terrorist group. They are at fault on this. Israel has every right to defend itself against Hamas.
Let me tell you, Governor Ron DeSantis seems to find himself in the middle of everything and always saying the right thing. I mean, the guy is very disciplined, very principled. And, you know, even in, you know, a lot of times, a lot of people who become famous on the national scene, they kind of forget about their home district or their home state. They become TV stars, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. Mm. And a lot of times you go in the home state and you're like, hey, yeah, I see you. You know, when I used to, and I'm actually going to start traveling again this year, which I'm excited about. You go in these home states and you'd say, hey, I saw so-and-so on TV. And they're like, yeah, we know. They're always on TV, you know. Yeah. But let me tell you, Ron DeSantis seems to also take care of the home front down there in the Sunshine State because I got a ton of family down there. His approval rating is off the charts.
Huh.
Democrat, Republican, Independent. He's at like a 70% approval rating, which is unheard of in this day and age of the polarized America. And so he does very well. So I want to talk to our next guest, Virginia Cruda, about that. Virginia joining me here on the Mark Reardon Show on a beautiful sunny afternoon here in the heartland on May 14th, 2021. Virginia, welcome to the Mark Reardon Show. Great to have you on. And I wanted to ask you about, first, I'll get to Ron DeSantis in a minute and the Israel issue, but I was looking at your Twitter feed, at VA Cruda.
Oh, no.
And no, it's all good. It's all good. I can't believe, is this a fake Brian Stelter account? Because
no.
you retweeted Brian Stelter saying, he sounds like a Fox News anchor. He says, will the USA sleepwalk into another year of keeping school kids masked indoors and outdoors, even though children are at the lowest risk of COVID and even though responsible parents are getting vaccinated? Brian Stelter from CNN there sounding like a Fox News anchor. I mean, is there hope yet for the network, or is it maybe because their ratings have plunged 60% and they got to get back into mainstream America?
No, here's, you'll find this interesting too. Jake Tapper has really been pushing back hard on this too, especially in recent weeks, pushing back on, hey, are the guidelines a little too tight now? If the science is changing, and that's the thing, the science does keep changing, because what most people don't understand is that science is not a set of facts. Science is a process. It's a process of elimination where we get rid of the stuff that doesn't work. And we're hopefully eventually left with what does. And what Jake Tapper and Brian Stelter are doing, and I will absolutely give them credit for this, they're following the science on this, where a lot of people like Dr. Fauci, who's still afraid to go sit in a restaurant with his family, even though they're all vaccinated, they're following the science and he's not.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at this, and so he's absolutely right saying that the kids are at the lowest risk. Kids probably don't need to be wearing masks. They certainly don't need to be wearing them outside, especially if adults, whether they're vaccinated or not, don't need to be wearing them outside. But so I think that Brian Stelter is following the science, where a lot of people, you know, either for political reasons or, you know, security blanket reasons are not.
Yeah, Virginia, earlier this week, Martha McCallum on Fox News absolutely wrecked Randy Weingarten of the American Federation of Teachers on so many issues, including this issue of why aren't kids back in schools everywhere. And so now, Virginia, you've got CNN, all the networks, all the cable news networks wondering this. And now you even have Joe Biden saying, okay, time for us to start returning to the old normal. I don't know if the teachers unions can hold out on their little island of insanity much longer, and they're going to bring about their own.
I hope not.
Yeah, they're going to bring up about their own demise is what they're going to do.
Right. Well, and to be fair, I think that to an extent, because I mean, the Biden administration wasn't following the science on this either. I mean, we all knew it. He was still wearing a mask outside when he was vaccinated because he was setting a good example. Well, you're not setting a good example. You're setting an example for people who value virtue signaling over, you know, freedom. Mm-hmm. And so that's the only people he's setting an example for. If we all knew that it didn't transmit out outside hardly at all. And now we have these reports saying that the CDC had even overblown that, and they had even said it was a low risk. It was much lower than they said it was. But I think what happened, and Meghan McCain nailed this on The View, and a couple of other people have been talking about it, that what happened as far as the CDC and the Biden administration reversing course on masking is that they needed a positive news story, because otherwise people are looking at the fact that they have to wait in line for gas. Gas prices are going up. And the only thing that we got in trade for that was like the absence of a few mean tweets. And people are not happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I've seen so many people talking on social media this week about, God, I miss low gas prices and mean tweets.
Right. A little bit of wag the dog. A little bit of wag the dog this week, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, I don't think it was a fair trade anyway, because I don't care enough about mean tweets to infringe on free speech. Not that Twitter is not the government. They're not censoring Donald Trump. They're not, but I think that if they're going to pretend that they're an unbiased platform, they should allow as much free speech as possible. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm a firm believer in knowing where the crazy people live. And by that, I mean more speech is better than less, because people will tell you who they are. And I'd rather know who they are than drive them underground.
Absolutely. Speaking of Virginia Cruda, she's a third-generation Army veteran associate editor over at the Daily Caller, at Daily Caller, at VA Cruda, dailycaller.com. Virginia, the clip I played from Ron DeSantis, who's definitely just becoming every single day more and more America's governor, he seems to be able to address any issue in a common sense, sensible way, not necessarily in a partisan way, but in a common sense, practical way. He makes sense with every single thing he says. And on this issue of the Israeli Hamas airstrikes, you know, Virginia, back in the days of Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, back in the days of Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich, it used to be commonly understood between the parties that partisan politics stops at the water's edge. And we go into foreign policy and foreign relations as the United States of America. And you've now got certain U.S. Congress women basically siding with a terrorist organization that does not believe Israel has a right to exist, that believes that women are second-class citizens, and don't even get them started on whether gay rights exist or not, because, you know, they believe that, you know, homosexuality should be punished by death. I mean, Hamas, Hezbollah, they are militant jihadi fundamentalists, and I have no idea what in the world U.S. Congress people are doing, even thinking about defending them.
Well, right. And what I think is interesting, and Joe Lieberman was on The View earlier this week, the independent senator from Connecticut.
Yes.
And he's Jewish. He is very strong foreign policy guy. And he had some interesting things to say about this. And what he pointed out was it's important to note that the people who are coming out and say, you know, talking about Palestinians versus Israelis, they're selling you a bill of goods that they're trying to change the narrative, if you will, because the reality is this is Hamas attacking Israel and Israel doing its best to attack Hamas without taking civilian casualties. Hamas knows that they're putting Palestinians and Israelis in the crossfire, and they do it intentionally so that they can then get people like Ilhan Omar to condemn Israel. Because she, and I think she would say, and most people who argue in the same way that she does, they're not supporting Hamas. They're supporting, I'm not saying that they wouldn't, because we have not really seen any clear indicator. They're so willing to blur the lines that the likelihood is that they would. But there are innocent Palestinians who are being slaughtered, and there are innocent Israelis who are being blamed for defending themselves. And it's I don't know if you heard the most recent story and all of the media outlets that were duped over what happened in Israel this past week, but Israel basically told everybody, we are going to send ground troops in into Gaza. And so the Israeli press reports, we're going into Gaza. World News reports, they're going into Gaza. And so what does Hamas do? Flood the terror tunnels and send all their people into the tunnels.
Mm.
And Israel bombs the crap out of the tunnels.
Mm.
The entire point, and they didn't send in ground troops. The entire point was to, it was subterfuge. The idea was to drive them into the tunnels so that they could bomb them without taking civilian casualties. And it worked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
As one of my friends at the Daily Caller pointed out, I think on Twitter, while the rest of the world is playing 2D checkers, Israel is playing backwards underwater backgammon.
Right.
I mean, they have been doing, and I said this before, the Israelis know without a doubt when they walk into a room that the other side is going to fight dirty. And they just shrug and say, that's all right, we got this.
Right. Exactly. They're so capable
on
everything they do.
This. Uh-huh. And, They've been doing it forever.
And Virginia, I think a lot of us were happy to see that at least Joe Biden made the right statement to a sense. He could have said more, but he did say Israel absolutely has the right to defend itself. They're being shot at with rockets. However,
yes.
I don't know if I missed it. I don't see what else the administration is doing. I mean, should they be doing something? Should they be saying more? What do you think needs to happen next?
I will say I kind of agree with Lieberman on this. He was talking about this exact issue because Meghan McCain asked him, do you think Joe Biden's doing enough? And he said that right now, yes, because Secretary Blinken went over or he was meeting with some people. We've got Egypt and our other allies. He said that the best thing they could do is work with Israel's allies that have signed on through the Abraham Accords to encourage a ceasefire and negotiations for peace. But Lieberman favors a two-state solution. We don't know if that's going to work. Obviously, we haven't gotten that far. But the thing that he pointed out, and I think it's important to remember this, we cannot leave Iran out of the conversation, because it's he said that the idea is that they're encouraging Hamas to stir up these confrontations because they know that it's going to pit the Israelis against the Palestinians. The Israelis will say we're fighting Hamas, but the world only sees Israel versus Palestine. They don't see Israel versus Hamas and Palestine is
and Iran and everybody else. Yeah.
Right. And because Iran is helping Hamas or encouraging them, he thinks that they're trying to use it as leverage to get a better nuclear deal.
Yes. And that's
And he was really, really concerned. He thought that the Biden administration was handling what was going on in Israel right now in an acceptable fashion, but he was concerned that they want a deal with Iran more than the Iranians do. And that is where we could run into trouble, because he's like, it's not worth making a deal at any price, because they will make you pay a price.
Yep. And that's the four-dimensional chess going on in the Middle East that national media doesn't seem to understand. Keep following Virginia Cruda at VA Cruda on Twitter. Virginia, thanks for the great global roundup there that we had with you. Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us on the Mark Maron Show.
By the way, you are absolutely right. Florida loves Ron DeSantis. When I was there, everybody loves him.
You were there recently. Yeah, you saw it. You saw the love from the Sunshine State for the great governor.
Yep.
Thanks, Virginia. You have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, there she goes. Hey, let's take our final break of the afternoon here on the Mark Maron Show. Tim Jones in the big chair for Mark. Happy to take your phone calls if you got any as we wrap up the show here and help you get into the weekend. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Do you want to weigh in on anything that we've talked about? Otherwise, Sue, Andrew, and I will take care of things here at 97.1 FM Talk.
We brought suit against St. Louis County, this Missouri's largest county of 1 million people, this week because of their overly burdensome regulations. Enough is enough. And to give this further context, Maria, a few weeks ago we sent a letter to St. Louis County saying, hey, what data, what science do you have to back up this seemingly never-ending government control over people's lives? And what their response was sort of, you know, double speak and half measures, and it simply wasn't good enough. So this week we filed a lawsuit, and there's three main buckets of this lawsuit. The first is it's restricting people's ability to practice their religion freely, which of course is a fundamental right. For example, in St. Louis County, you can sit next to a stranger on a bus, but you can't sit next to a neighbor at church. They're treating churches differently than other businesses.
There was Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, and lo and behold, the restrictions are gone in St. Louis County 3 days later. So we're in line with the city and everybody else now. And, you know, everybody just keep doing your part. Let's get out of this pandemic. And, you know, if you're someone who is okay with vaccinations, I urge you to get one. They're available everywhere. We're running PSAs now on the station. So I got mine. It was easy. It was quick. Kind of went through the COVID-itis a little bit, and then it's been over 2 weeks, so I'm all good to go. I can lick doorknobs again. So there we go.
If you wanted to.
So we just got a few minutes here. I was really enjoying our movie segment earlier, and I was looking at some of the new series on like Netflix and Prime and stuff like that. So, Sue, beyond Mayor of Easttown, well, first of all, let me ask you this, Sue. HBO, right, was kind of the first network to make the series famous, right? Probably with The Sopranos, right? That was the first, like, big, giant one,
prestige
right?
TV.
And then we went to Game of Thrones. Well, there was between that and Game of Thrones, we had 6 Feet Under, which I loved watching. I loved that one, 6 Feet Under. There was a bunch of others in there that I'm not thinking. Oh, what was the one? Nucky Thompson, Boardwalk Empire. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that was a good one.
Yeah,
there's just so many. Is there another, and we had Game of Thrones, is there another big HBO series on the horizon that we've heard of or thought about or
have
are
you,
expecting?
Have you watched The Flight Attendant?
I have not. I've heard about it. What do you think?
I loved it. It's disturbing but kind of great. And if you want to go down that hole for the weekend, that's not an upcoming one. It's just something that I've watched.
It's been on, yeah.
That's a really good one for the weekend. They also say The Undoing is supposed to be good, and
I
haven't watched that.
The Undoing.
Yeah.
What's it about? Do you know? Do you have any idea?
It's a couple, and it's their undoing, and I don't know what the what happens that it happened. You know what I mean? What happened that they start to become undone? But it's supposed to be great, and I have not delved into that one yet.
Andrew, you feasting on anything these days? You
haven't watched. Been watching a lot of TV lately.
I go in and out because, you know, by the weekends, I just want to, like, sit down and rest. And then I do a lot of outside work, play a little golf, I do a lot of yard work. I'm, like, outside all weekend, you know. That's what I try to do. But at night, I've been watching, we're kind of in the middle of, so Suzanne will watch various things, and I'll sort of watch them and fall asleep while we're watching them, so I kind of get bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Like, the Sherlock series is pretty entertaining.
I love Sherlock.
Fun. Very
love
entertaining.
It.
Very fun.
I caught a piece of that. She was watching The Queen's Gambit, which is the chess
Sue likes
one.
Oh, Sue likes that one a lot.
I love that one,
That was
too.
Really fascinating.
It's really awesome.
True story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Based
fascinating.
On.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm watching, I'm really into, like, the Middle Ages period pieces, you know, whether they're science fiction or not.
Mm.
So I've been watching The Last Kingdom.
I don't even know what that is. Where does that stream?
It's on Netflix
right
now. It's been on Netflix for a while. We're in like the third season now, or second season. We're in the second season. And I love the main character. He's like this, he's one of these imperfect, very imperfect protagonists, you know?
Okay,
and
I like that.
And he plays, so the whole premise is it's the Middle Ages, it's the Dark Ages in England before England was a unified nation. So it's all the tribal camps.
Whoa.
And it's fascinating because you kind of feel like you're watching a documentary, but it's got all the drama aspects.
Interesting.
It's probably loosely based, but I'm sure a lot of the things they're presenting are historical characters. I don't know if the main character ever was. The main character is Uhtred, and he was English-born, native English-born, but he was raised by the Danes, the Vikings.
Oh,
so this is the period of time where the Vikings have invaded England, but now they're like, everybody's trying to figure out who's going to control what. And, of course, the English believe that, number one, they're the more native people, Although, you know, I guess they originally kind of came from the Romans. But anyway, they're there, and they're trying to spread Christianity. And they're thinking, okay, between our claim and Christianity, we don't want to necessarily destroy all the Danes. We want to, like, basically assimilate them in.
Assimilate them.
And the Danes are kind of like, most of the Danes are like, eh, not interested, but some of them are.
16?
No, earlier, like 1300s.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm trying to remember exactly.
How much of a, like, war movie is it? Series, is it? Do I have to watch a lot of bloodletting war?
No, a lot of politics.
Okay.
A lot of intrigue, a lot of drama.
I like intrigue.
Some blood and guts, Sue. Some blood and guts.
You know, I can handle a little.
It's gritty. You get a sense of, like, oh, my God, I'm glad I didn't live back then.
Especially women in
sanitation,
any of those series. Yes.
Childbirth, food, you know.
No, thank you.
I mean, although the scenery is gorgeous and the drama between the main characters is really fascinating. And Uhtred is kind of like, he's kind of like in no man's land, right? He's born an Englishman, raised by an English nobleman, but yet ends up getting raised by the Vikings. So see, he's kind of like, I don't got time for all your politics crap. I just kind of want to, like, do my own thing. But he ends up working most closely with the English, but yet he's got a ton of friends on the Viking side of the coin.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a really cool series and a lot of awesome characters. There's, like, a fighting nun in it. She's awesome. She's, like, hardcore, you know. And she's kind of like his conscience, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
And anyway, it's pretty good stuff. I have a lot of it's Game of Thrones without the dragons and the magic and stuff.
Fair
you know?
Enough.
So it's pretty good. So I know we got to get out of here. Thank you, gang. I'll be back Monday. So
all right. We'll
it was
see
a pleasure.
Yep,
pleasure. It was good. It was all good. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Carl. We got Carl out there today, and thank you to all of our guests. Thank you to Fred very much for getting me organized as always, and thanks to Mark for letting me sit in the big chair. He'll be back Tuesday. I'll be back Monday afternoon. Y'all have a great, glorious, wonderful weekend, and I want to say go, go, go to the Eureka High School Varsity Girls Track and Field Team. My daughter Katie and her friend Kylie will be running tomorrow morning the 2 mile out in Wentzville. I'm so excited to see them, and go Wildcats. Y'all have a great weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.